Welcome to the Trailhead, where trails start and stories unfold. Welcome to the show, everyone. Now here's JD.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Welcome to the Trailhead, the biggest shit show in an off-road podcast. I'm JD. Joining me today are Pope and Randy and Jason Carnes. And Dara?
Adara.
It's my daughter, Adara.
Like Adara. Adorable. Hi, Adara.
She's adorable.
Welcome to the show, hon. All right. Today we have the pleasure of sitting down with Eric Miller, marketing professional and the creative force behind Conquer Trails and the Jeep known as Honey Badger. As a founder, Eric has not only created a platform for Jeep enthusiasts, but uses that platform to actively contribute to the off-road community, events, and responsible recreation organizations. Later on, we'll talk about Eric's journey from motorsports racing background to immersing himself in Jeep customization and his love affair with it that probably deserves his own book. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. And today we've got Pope, Randy. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Awesome. And then, of course, last but not least in the rotation is Mr. Carnes. How you doing, sir?
I'd be better if I was home drinking.
So, just everybody, how y'all doing? Jason, we'll start with you. I got you unmuted.
All right. I'm doing good.
Anything new and exciting?
Well, I'm going to go wheeling tomorrow. Hopefully, I've got some great friends that went to shit, and then they want to go run. It's actually been pretty nice. I've been for the past week. And I thought to myself, well, I need to get out there on the trails and then pull the trigger, and we got a flood watch.
I feel like Jason's rubbing it in our faces that he has a working vehicle.
Oh, well, might not be. I'm waiting. It's just like a ticking time bomb. I still got Christmas tree.
Oh, well, that's pretty much any Jeep owner there.
Yeah, but I normally don't have lights on my dash.
Okay.
It's standing a little bit too hard.
Not the Jason we know.
Oh.
Oh. Awesome. All right. Pope, Randy, how you guys been? Break any vehicles this week?
No new vehicles broken. We've got two in the shop right now, though. We've got the backup Jeep is in the shop getting new shocks because I hit a bump and about flew off the road with death wobble, so I went and got the most expensive shocks possible.
He's dumb.
So.
Oh, get that logic check.
I use that excuse too. I hit a bump.
If it scares you enough, it's worth spending an extra couple hundred bucks. I get it.
Yeah. Or grand.
Well, it's really supposed to be my commuter Jeep, and so he keeps trying to turn it into a crawler because actually the two-door is way fun to drive off-road, but I'm trying to drive something straight. One thing in my life needs to drive straight. So
we did get an update on the Misfit, though. The starter is dead, and because of that, they're going to replace that. They're going to also replace all the spark plugs because it was upside down on its roof, and while they got it open, they're going to take a look in them motor and see if there's any oil in there or anything else, anything hydrolocked or anything like that.
So, is it still not starting at all?
It was not starting at all as of yesterday, but I don't know where they were at today. I didn't call on them and bug them today, so I'll have another update next week probably.
Take the plugs out, turn it over. That'll get the oil out.
I think that's what they're doing. That's what they're going to plan. That's basically the plan. So, yeah, it'll be great. It should be back. Once it's moving, then it's not that hard to get it back on the trail. It's just this nightmare that's dead for a month.
Hey, yeah. When you turn it over with those plugs out, don't have your face over the bench. I learned that the hard way.
You can only imagine. I can only imagine.
The better question is, Jason, did they want to get pictures?
No, there was no pictures. The poor Toyota driver was not a stager.
Throwing shade to Toyota. We're like 3 minutes in, man. Come on.
It's going downhill fast.
We're gonna have every single time now, it's gonna be a thing, because there's a couple of podcasts that are very Toyota focused, and I can see it becoming a problem, Jason. So thanks a lot.
Glad to start a rivalry with them.
Yeah, by the way, Toyota people, Jason speaks for himself. You guys,
yeah, exactly.
I love you guys.
Uh-huh. And if you wanna leave us a message about how you feel about Jason and Toyota, the phone number is 71.
That's right, a service for this.
Yeah, we're trying to turn this into. We'd like to turn this into a running joke.
Death threats. I'm gonna start getting death threats.
Well, I mean, at least we're not publishing your personal number. This is they just have to leave messages here.
That is true, but I feel like I'm not the one that started this. I am not the one that started this.
No, you are not. But you guys are on the same camera, so sorry.
That is true.
You're an accomplice.
Yeah, definitely an accomplice today.
That's awesome. All right. So I want to take this opportunity real quick. This is a reminder. If you are listening, I'm holding up an eight switch panel, gang relay for Jeep. Honestly, you probably can use it just about anywhere. It's pretty universal. It's going to be part of a giveaway for the first 50 reviews. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else and send us a message that you left that review, hopefully with a screenshot, we'll get you entered. We had our first entry today. Actually, somebody I know with the Jeep hit me up and they left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Posted yet. Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to see what he wrote. But yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that was my red 2-door Jeep that left a comment. He wants an 8-gang switch.
See, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this, Pope, but we're not eligible for this. Because I could give it back to myself, but then it's going to defeat the whole damn purpose of this.
Exactly.
All right. We'll give away to one of the 50 first reviews, and then we'll just do a kind of a raffle for it, and I'll do it live on one of these, and I'll pull it out of the hat or something. So, yeah, we just want to get the reviews. They really help us kind of grow and get us put up there with some of the other guys so that people know that we're worth listening to. So, cool. Thanks a lot. Let's see here. What else have I got? To the phone number we left, or I said a second ago, if you want to leave us a message or text us, you can do so at 719-408-0132. You can also hit us up at thetrailheadnetwork.com, the Trailhead Podcast at Gmail, and of course the Trailhead Podcast at gmail.com. And then on Instagram. And then we'll do news with you, Pope. But first, the selfish thing for all the people here local in Colorado, Rampart Range is closed. It's kind of my back door here, and it's actually 4 minutes from my house. So the northern end of Rampart Range is closed. Respect seasonal closures. It's just something we got to deal with, and they'll be open in the spring. Did you guys see the Moab update?
I did.
Yeah.
So
all those trails are officially closed.
Yeah, all those trails. The petition that the BRC filed was denied, and the stay was denied. So all those trails are closed. If you go out there, respect those closures, and then follow the BRC. They're going to continue to fight this, and then hopefully, if we get this turned over, then we can go back out there sometime soon.
Yep.
All right. That's also a reminder. Blue Ribbon Coalition, if you don't know who they are, go back a few episodes and listen to our conversation with Ben from the Blue Ribbon Coalition, and think about giving them some cash to help them with the fight that a lot of us don't have time for. Go ahead, Jason.
Just as a reminder, too, on the VRC, I'm pretty sure, Pope, you have it on your Instagram account. I don't have it on my account. Billy's got it on her account. And I think, Eric, you have it on yours still, too, right? Donations to the cause for the Ribbon Coalition.
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of fundraising for them anyways through Concord Trail, so yeah.
So if anybody doesn't know how to help throw some cash towards and support them, please go to our Instagram page and click on that and help get the money into them.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
I'll mute myself.
No, you're good. Thank you. it's just Blue Ribbon Coalition's doing a lot of the legal work that we can't do. Right. So if you can throw them some cash and get involved, do so. Awesome. All right. So Pope, I think I managed to get the Pope news thing fixed. So we're going to try this again.
Oh, let's see.
See if I can not make an ass out of myself again. And Jason's already laughing at me, and I don't appreciate it. All right. Let's see if it goes. Bueller. Bueller. No, see? I did everything I was supposed to, Riverside. This is not exactly an advertisement for your service. Sorry. All right. Well, here's the fucking news with Pope.
I like that. Stick with that.
That's perfect. There was a no better intro.
Like a little xylophone, though, like chime in.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's some fucking news. All right, so let's start with this top one. I don't even know what this is about. I was trying to get it. Oh, this is a tire stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a press release, kind of a story, but it's still an interesting stat.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Basically, Hankook Tires has done a survey, and the latest survey from their ongoing Gauge Index reveals that half of Americans are interested in off-road experiences, with 48% of that group showing a particular interest in trail driving. The survey highlights the appeal of exploration and experiencing new scenery as the top benefits of off-road driving. Interestingly, the data shows a seasonal preference for off-road driving, with 29% of respondents preferring the fall, second only to the summer at 37%. When it comes to equipment, performance, 25%, safety rating, 17%, and longevity, 12% are the top considerations for drivers purchasing off-road tires. This survey also touched on the topic of electric vehicles and off-road driving, with 40% of respondents indicating they would use an EV for off-road driving. I'm in that 40%. I know I'm in
the minority. So am I.
I'm interested. I mean, it's got to be good, though.
Yeah, it can't suck. I mean, you can't just go out there and have a break.
Yeah, I'm
can't just last for like an hour.
I'm squarely in the hybrid camp for off-roading right now. Like that's it. That makes sense to me. The hybrid makes sense. It doesn't make sense to be all electric, unless you've got high capacity stations available to you at all times.
Yeah, unless the technology changes and keeps up with that stuff.
Well, and it will. And I think even like the idea of like solar panels on the top of your I've heard of like people talking about like solar panels on like the exoskeleton of the Jeep or whatever. And how cool would that be if you could like even do solar like someday? Yeah. Like it would be awesome. And anyway, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
There's a rooftop tent up there too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a lot of people already have the rooftop tent, so now they just need to skin it with solar panels.
Right.
There you go.
It'll be a few years and they'll have some sort of photovoltaic paint that you can just paint your shit and
basically
charge.
Exactly.
In Utah, we tend to get off-road tires that are good at snow, at least if we're trying to be on the roads and on the trails with the same vehicle.
So
that's our preference. Seriously.
Yeah.
So, because we're driving off road a third of the year anyway, whether we like it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, well, this is kind of a press release for Hankook Tires. I think they're just trying to show, hey, people want to use tires to get out in the wilderness. But I think it points to what we've talked about before, which is that there's a lot of people that are getting out there now that have never before, and those numbers are only going to get bigger.
Yeah.
If they've got a vehicle, they're going to figure out how to do it.
So, yeah. I think that's the driving force behind that, to me, I think, is like, obviously the four-door JK. That was like that flipped the off-road world on its head, because
it really did. Yeah.
You know, it's just not this bachelor's vehicle anymore. It's like, now it's a family vehicle. It's got four doors and this and that. And then like everything from that kind of, you know, snowballed into, you know, overlanding getting big and everybody calling it overlanding, but people have been doing it forever. And so, and then obviously the social media side kind of driving all the pictures. And so it's not a surprise that like fall, that's very, very scenic, very beautiful outdoor time. So is summer, that sort of thing. So those are the two popular things, obviously, in that survey. And the number one thing on the list is scenery. So like all those things kind of point to like Instagram photos and four-door vehicles and overlanding and all those things, you know what I mean? And
yeah, I think people want to do what they see in their Instagram feeds.
Right.
So
we used whether to it's love in their bag. To take the Jeeps camping and go out wherever we could take them.
Don't do the things that I do.
I think that's a blanket statement we should probably just have played before the podcast.
Us, right? Yeah. If you see Pope doing it on his Instagram, don't copy it.
I'm going to add that. Don't try this at home. Yep.
You have a sticker on the bottom of the podcast the entire time. Which like,
I can do
not try this at home. Do not try this at home.
Like scroll across the bottom.
Yep.
Warning, Pope and Jason are shitty drivers. Do not try this at home.
That's awesome. So we talked about the EVs, and then and then let's go for the next one, Pope, man.
All right, let's talk about the Forest Service cutting down trees to save the forest. This isn't that unusual of a thought for us, but it's nice to see that they're kind of taking doing a little bit more. We've been doing this in Utah for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In a recent article on singletracks.com, Matt Miller explains the concept of forest thinning, a vital strategy employed by land management agencies to enhance forest health and mitigate the risk of destructive fires. So Miller highlights that thinning involves creating space for trees to flourish while reducing the fuel that can escalate fire intensity. And beyond fire prevention, this practice positively impacts biodiversity, habitat quality, and addresses risks from pests and diseases. Despite sparking debate due to its influence on wildlife, scenery, and recreation, agencies deploy various methods, including mechanical thinning and prescribed burning, tailored to specific forest types and terrains. As Miller notes, this intentional forest management delivers not only environmental benefits, but also contributes to economic gains, producing timber and biomass, and generating jobs and revenue for the local communities.
Yeah, I wanted to throw that one in because the amount of messages, I mentioned that I live here next to Rampart Range here in Colorado. They, all summer long, they did a lot of fuel mitigation because a lot of the front range here is right next to houses. And sometimes you have these conversations with the wheelers and they're like, oh, they went through there with the, and they logged it. Now it's terrible. And it looks terrible. I'm like, give it a couple of years. It'll be back. And it's important that we do that because we didn't do it for 60 years or longer. And we tried to prevent it from ever happening. And as such, it got overgrown. There's some places here that are a tinderbox, and it's nice to see people writing about it and showing that it's the benefits to it.
Yeah, it's a good perspective. I think a lot of people don't see on the surface. They just see, you know, people cutting down trees and, you know, not only from the scenery, but just like people just wanting to, you know, not see the trees disappear and all this and that and, you know, the deforestation and blah, blah, blah. So there's like good and bad, you know, sides of it and depending on where it's at. But I think like
you can overdo it.
Oh, absolutely. You can
completely overdo it. But there's a trail right near here named Shoebarth. And it's just on top of the Air Force Academy, and it's very nice. but you can drive through it and immediately see the difference between where they have done some of that work and where they have not done some of that work. And where they have not some of that work, there's just tons of dead. And it's not pretty. It's not even really good, nice to look at if you're being just aesthetic about it.
Right.
And so it's important that it gets done, especially now, because we didn't do it for so long.
Absolutely.
All right. We got one more.
Yeah, let's do this one. This one I really like, because this is right up our alley that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
So Pennsylvania is investing millions to secure it. Let me try that again. Pennsylvania is investing millions to ensure people of all backgrounds and abilities have access to public lands. Pennsylvania is making strides in ensuring that its public lands are accessible to all. The state is investing millions in projects and advisory boards to ensure that all Pennsylvanians can enjoy the state's more than 3 million acres of public lands and numerous outdoor recreational opportunities. The efforts are aimed at connecting kids with the outdoors, improving accessibility, and challenging assumptions that certain activities are exclusive to certain demographics. However, they acknowledge that more work is needed to ensure everyone who wants to can visit and feel safe using public lands.
Hey, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I just want to say what they're really talking about there is those are the public roads. Public roads, public land, that's what they're referring to. They invest millions of dollars into the public roads there every year. So if you've ever driven on a highway in Pennsylvania, no, it's not pleasant. You need four-wheel drive. Those potholes are monstrous.
Once again, the phone number to leave a message is 719-08.
They need more than a million. They need way more than a million.
Are you volunteering, Jason, to help them with that fund?
No, but I think I just hit a skunk. Thanks.
Well, thank you for that lovely thought. All right. So... this is something we've talked about before, right? Is the just having access for certain groups of people. I'm one of those people that can't do the walking. And when you close 300 miles of trails in Moab, I'm never going to see those trails now.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see the other end of it like this. You've got some good stuff going out there by you too, right, Eric? Was that Idaho or was that Washington?
I'm in Washington. Yeah.
Okay. I think that was Idaho. They had the wind.
Yep. I read a little bit more in that article, and yeah, I think it's good that they're kind of pouring some money into that and trying to make certain demographics feel safe. Cause I think like it kind of goes into, you know, certain minority demographics, not thinking, you know, going out on hikes and getting out in wilderness is like something that they grew up in. Cause they were like, inner urban or that sort of thing, you know what I mean? And they just, you know, don't feel necessarily safe in certain environments. And so right. I think they're dumping a lot of money, letting them know like, hey, these trails are open and cut and clean, and here's a map and all this sort of thing. So I think I think what they're doing is good out there.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Just open access to more people.
Yeah. It's just, I like to see, especially, I mean, I've seen a lot of articles about, access for wheelchairs and things like this. This article is kind of nice to put that blanket OHV as well. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be a wheelchair, just limited access for some folks. Like I can get to and from the store. It's, I can't go on a hike. Like these knees can't take it.
Right.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it in the news department for that. And then, we'll move on.
That's the end of your big ass news.
That's your big ass news. That's awesome.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was very excited. I had this whole thing with it, and I tried it out earlier today, and it worked. And I just hit the button, and the progress bar said it was playing something. And we all sat here, and I got nothing. So, Riverside, I can't honestly endorse you. It's better than most software, but it's still there's a few problems if you're listening. Eric, officially again, welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on and chatting with us about this stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
So for those of you listening, Conquer Trails is, if you're familiar with the Jeep Badge of Honor, those are the official Jeep badges that are offered for the trails that they have designated around the country as being their official trails. But a lot of us found those lacking in a lot of different ways. And Conquer Trails is one of those groups that really filled in there, stepped in there to fill that void. So welcome, Eric.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So I got to get this out of the way. My wife mentioned, or I was doing the research, the prep work for this, and I can't help but notice you're from Sequim.
I am, yeah.
And that I said, did I say that correctly, didn't I?
Nope, you did not.
Oh, damn it. I was not prepared. Okay. That's probably where I thought I had it right. The only reason I know this is because of 90 Day Fiancé. Do you know that guy?
I don't know that guy, but I heard there was a said gentleman on that show in this area. So,
okay, well, that's good. I can pass that along because my wife was sure that you probably knew him based on the town's overall population.
Small town, but know him personally.
Okay. Well, this is worth a shot. All right. Real quick, I ordered this from you a little while back, and I didn't open it because I figured I was going to open it here. And I got the Save Moab ones. Let's take a look at this. I have not. This is a blind reaction because I don't have any of your badges till now. This is very entertaining radio, yo. Oh, yeah, that's slick. So I got the Save Moab, the Blue Ribbon Coalition sticker. This one's still available, right?
It is. We have that version 2 is no longer available, but we still have some of the version 1. It's almost identical sticker. It just has a Jeep on it. So,
okay, cool. So, yeah, if you want to grab one of these, head over to the Conquer Trails site. They'll give a donation to the BRC and send you this awesome sticker you can put in your rig.
Yep. So, we're donating $5 per each one.
Yeah, it's an awesome. It's a really great, man. It's a high dollar donation with a good sticker for a good advertisement. So thank you. I'll let you go right into it. Can you want to give yourself a little bit of an introduction and tell us a little bit about the Conquer Trails?
Yeah. Where should I start? You want like history of Conquer Trails or?
Yeah. I mean, how did you guys come to be like?
I've been always a car person in the vehicles growing up. There wasn't a vehicle I think I left stock, so I was always like customizing things and doing this and that. And I think that really was from I have an older brother. It's about 7 years older, so like he was going through high school in the like mini truck lowrider days and that sort of thing. The kids were always customizing things, so I was around him a lot, just tinkering. But I've always been like a sports car guy, really. And so right out of high school, kind of followed a passion in the motorsports and got in the road course racing for a long number of years. Everything from like Porsches to Hondas. And we got into national race series and we're all over the place and all the way up until basically the 2008 housing crash, basically. Then, marketing budgets start drying up, you know, sponsorships start drying up. And, you know, if you don't have the right last name or independently wealthy, you're just not going racing. So that, that was a stop of that career.
It'll do it.
And then I just kind of was looking around. I've always loved Jeeps. I've had a couple, Grand Cherokees in the past, but no Wranglers. And then I was just like, hey, you know, I like how you can customize Jeeps, and kind of got into the Jeep thing. And, very quickly caught the bug, started throwing money at it and going wheeling more often. Before you know it, I'm just like, man, I spent a lot of money doing this. And I wanted to go to out of state and Moab and all these different trails, not just my local ones. And again, that's like more and more money. And then I was like, you know, how can I, you know, offset this and kind of support my hobby of sorts. And then I remembered back when in my racing years, a cool thing people used to do is put the silhouette of all the racetracks like on their race cars. So you're walking around the pit and you're just like, oh, that car has been on Laguna Seca and Watkins Glen and all these big name racetracks that people would just recognize by the shape of it. They wouldn't even have the name of it. You'd just be like, oh, I know that track. I've been on that one, or I know that one, that sort of thing. So I kind of really took that idea and then kind of ran with it and took about a year and a half to really kind of develop, build a website, build a good base amount of inventory, basically, before I launched Conquered Trails at EGS in 2016.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jason. Oh, Jason dropped. We lost it. I think Jason had a question, but then we lost him. That's all right. Well, that's cool, man. You said it was in 2016 or 2017 you debuted them?
2016. Yeah, it was at EGS. Okay. 2016 is kind of where I launched it. And we brought a rig down there and did the whole thing and worked with a bunch of companies to kind of help introduce a lot of the products. I worked with Northridge 4x4. They used to be, they used to have a pretty good force down at EGS, sponsored a lot of trail runs, like probably 10 to 12 trail runs while they're down there every year, that sort of thing. So I'd take our badges for that particular trail run and then put their brand on top of it too. So it's kind of a co-branded thing. Okay. So it's our branded shape, but with their logo on top, which we do a ton of that for small clubs or just a groups of, you know, girls that are going out for a weekend that have this, you know, logo they want to throw on it or whatever it is. We've done memorial stuff. We've done like just all kinds of stuff.
Do you just contact you and then you'll like make like cool trail badges and stuff?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we do. And when I say we, like, it's basically me. design work right. And production, that sort of thing. So that's, but we do, pretty much everything in-house. So pretty awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How many badges you got now?
What's that?
How many badges you got now?
Live on the site, we probably have over 500 and 500 trails nationwide. And then we are adding like every week. And that's just a big part of basically Conquered Trails and what has kind of what this morphed into. And it's really like community driven. We get like so many people reaching out because obviously, you know, we're from our little neck in the woods and I know like the trails that we've been on. And when we go down the EGS or trail here or some of this and that Johnson Valley, but we don't get back to Tennessee on a regular basis or we don't get back to Oklahoma. Like, so, you know, unless we're doing constantly just actively doing a ton of research, you know, we still don't know which trails in Oklahoma are the most popular ones, you know what I mean? And versus the ones that, you know, it's just, it's in Uncle Bob's backyard and me and my buddies run it, you know, type thing. So we're trying to, it's very, very community driven. So we like ask a lot of questions when people reach out to us and, you know, what kind of trail rating is this? And, you know, do you have any maps of this? And you know, how popular is it? You know, blah, 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 blah. And is it on private land? Is it a public thing? Yeah. So all these things kind of play.
So do you have maps too for all these trails?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, we don't actually. And that's kind of our next, evolution basically is kind of where we are moving towards is not only just providing the merit badge for it, but also the information. Cause a lot of people are new to the sport. I mean, just like that Hankook tires thing. Right.
So can I interest you in trails off road? Full disclosure, I write for them. So why I bring it up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually had started a conversation about that because there's, you know, there's certain platforms and apps and that sort of thing that are the other piece of the puzzle really. And so rather than trying to reinvent it, you know what I mean?
There's a partnership. We've had some of those discussions in the past.
So what's the criteria that you choose for creating a badge for a trail? Is it popularity? Is it difficulty?
It used to be both popularity and a certain level of difficulty. But now that, you know, the overland side, nothing against the overland peak crew or that sort of thing, but like a lot of the trails that they're going on with big heavy rigs, that sort of thing, isn't the trails that we're hitting as rock crawlers, right? And so a lot of that is opened up a lot of like backcountry discovery routes where it's just, you know, the go all off road. It could just be like fire roads or access roads all the way across from one point of the state to another. That's a lot of, those are really big things now. So we're adding a lot of those where when we first started out, we were just like, oh, we're just going to do like rock crawling stuff and this and this and that. But, you know, times are changing and we want to be relevant for like every aspect. It doesn't matter. Like,
I can see the value in like doing a Conquered badge. Like I conquered this 5-day long expedition that I had to Jeep across the desert to finish or something like that. I can totally see
that. That's awesome.
That's kind of cool. And, you know, because it's our level of difficulty is how big are the rocks, how dangerous, how what's risk of body damage.
Right.
But a lot of people, there's endurance, and that's another whole different type of driving and mentality and being able to camp for 5 days in your Jeep. That's the hell of a accomplishment, to be honest.
It is. It absolutely is. Because of a lot of the stuff, like, you know, can you mention that we do? I mean, some of our trails are, you know, a quarter of a mile long, but it's the hardest part mile ever, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, it doesn't make for a real exciting badge when it's just like a straight line because there's the trail short, right? So, we try to not delve too much into, at least right now. I mean, there's always room for expansion and that sort of thing. But at the time being, we aren't like focusing too much on obstacles, right? Because all the obstacles are named, that sort of thing. So we're still sticking with full trails that might have the obstacles on it, that sort of thing. And we've had special requests, but we do custom work all the time, where people are like, oh, you know, we're going on this one trail and it's got these three obstacles at these different points and this, like, you know, point of interest over here because this old cool cabin that we all used to camp at as kids or whatever it is. Could you add that? And like, absolutely. That's all stuff that we can do, being small and nimble, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, it would be kind of cool to like have you done, I mean, not that like it's that hard, but I think everybody wants to do Hell's Gate. Like, just because you did Hell's Revenge doesn't mean you did Hell's Gate. Like, it'd be kind of cool to have those kind of like,
right?
I mean, not that, I mean, that's like a beginner, like, way cool thing,
right?
In retrospect to some things, but I mean, it would be cool to have like obstacles that are notorious, right? Like, if you're in Moab and you're on Hell's Revenge and you don't do Hell's Gate, like, you're sad, right? Like, just a little bit. Or whatever. Like, that was just a big example of a very popular one.
I think that's kind of where I would start, if we went down that route, would be like the big popular ones, not some of the super gnarly where, you know, you're...
The shooting Sand Hollow.
Your customer base shrinks really, really fast if it's a super gnarly thing, right? And so, right. But like Hell's Gate, of course, is like, that's perfect because, you know, how many like semi-stock vehicles have you seen go up that year after year, right? So,
or the chute, like the chute in Sand Hollow. It's a highway. It's like, it's really just drive over it, but at the same time, it's Jeep porn.
Right.
Like,
right, no.
It looks so good. Like, right.
It's just a lot of fun to watch side-by-sides try to go up that.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
And then you have the other side of the chute. Can you do that? Like, just
that's right. Yeah, turn left, go straight.
Yeah. Then you get, like, an upgraded badge. Just kidding.
Maybe they just come in pieces.
They should. And they could be puzzle pieces.
Yeah, so first,
they could be puzzle pieces together. Like, yeah, like... Okay, I can do the chute, but can you do the other side of the chute? Right. Or do you turn left or do you go straight?
I mean, choosing the difficulty line should be an important part of a sticker at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Obstacle ones. Like, I think you should do that. I think you should go down that path at some point. Like, I think that's a pretty cool, like, because, I mean, like I said, anybody can do Hell's Revenge, but did you do Hell's Gate? Or did you, anybody, I mean, not anybody could do Double Sammy, but like, did you do the shoot at the end? Oh, did you finish the shoot?
Right, did you drive the shoot backwards?
No,
but did you drive the shoot backwards?
But I do want to say, Eric, like, I want to. You're a rock crawler. Randy and Pope are rock crawlers. Jason and Lily are rock crawlers. I am an occasional rock crawler. I'm, you know, that guy with 35s and a 2.5-inch lift and that middle of the road build that he still drives to and from work. And half of my favorite trails is because they're scenic. They're not necessarily very difficult. They might have a little bit of a shelf. My wife might not like them, but they're all right. So I think there's a definite appetite for that because even with the Badge of Honor trails that the Jeep has now, a lot of the criticism is that some of them are too hard, some of them are too safe, if you will. And it's nice to have a much wider audience, or excuse me, set of trails to pull from when you're trying to find those achievements. So
there's both of those, to be true. Like, the trails are too easy. Some of the trails on the Badge of Honor are too easy. Some of them are way too hard. Yeah. And there's not really a happy medium.
Yeah, because
I'll never do Holy Cross in Colorado. As much as I like the idea of it, it's a mile long trail that takes all day.
It's on my bucket list.
I won't do it.
That sounds
I'll
great.
Go watch you do it.
A mile long that takes a day? How hard is it? Yeah, right. I like that.
Yeah. I know we were going to Colorado earlier this year, but it was too early and Holy Cross wasn't open. So there we didn't end up getting to do it. But that was
Holy Cross and Carnage
open,
Canyon.
We're doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're definitely going to break something. Mm-hmm. Every time.
See, I want to go to Montrose. I'm ready for Montrose. All I'm right. ready to go to there.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah.
How many, do you know how many stickers you've gotten in Colorado?
Oh, man. Quite a few. I want to say probably 60-ish.
I like putting you on the spot. Okay.
Something like that. That's a big area. And yeah, we're always, like I said, we're such community driven.
I've got 40 I can get to you.
So we add badges quickly, or we don't
that's
have
neat
because
there's lots of people, 60 or 70 trails in the state. That's a lot of opportunities for people to get badges and have fun with this collecting. And
yeah, and what I found also on the Jeep Badge of Honor, people have made it kind of almost they plan the trips around them now, where they're going out of state just to do these trails. So I can see a lot of times where they, if they don't do a ton of research on the trail or one thing or another, they get there and it's too hard or too difficult because it's on there. And we're just trying to like I said, be nimble and fill the gap. And we don't have an app attached to us. Right. So
that's my next question,
you know, where that was one of the biggest complaints about the Jeep Badge of Honor at first was well, they require you to check in and check off of the trail, but a lot of times you don't have cell service, right? Where these trails are, right?
Yeah, within anywhere.
So that was a big hammer.
I made some very questionable decisions about driving, leaving the top of the world, trying to wait for service because I had forgotten to check in on my way out there.
Oh.
Did that before.
I still don't have. Oh wait, do I have top? I don't have top of the world because I still have never had self service every time I've done it.
Honestly, I think it's a pointless thing. Mostly, though, it's kind of interesting to be able to say I checked in nearby. But I think for most people, it's you checked in nearby. Great, you can check in a Poison Spider too and never go on it.
Yeah, I checked into Pritchett and I've never been on it yet.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a bunch of badges that I just kind of got holding on to because I don't want to wait for Jeep.
He didn't mean to, but he's now he has the badge. So he's well, cool. I'll just go. No, you don't have the badge. You didn't order that. You
haven't
ordered the badge until you did.
I checked into it. It's waiting for me, but I'm not going to get it until I actually go.
I mean,
and
what
if
I
my
would
Jeep
say
doesn't there. Quit tipping over or being broken other ways, I'll never get there. So I'll
I can't believe it. We have tried to do Pritchett. I can't tell you how many times, every time we're going to do Pritchett, we break. Something happens the day before or
it's always
something.
On the last day and one of us has broken gears.
Someone has
broken
I hate that trail. if we are basically bound and determined to fail if we plan to do that trail. So I just wanted to sneak up on me one day. We're doing Pritchett.
Just happen.
Yeah, I just need to happen on Pritchett.
Just rent a Jeep. Mm-hmm. Rent it. Yeah,
go to a rental. Oh, I might just take it on,
Yeah, on the easy.
Do a Turo.
On the easy stuff.
And somebody's really lifted Jeep. I don't think you're supposed to do that for the record.
I have
to do
it.
I'm pretty sure their terms of service says no.
Certain Jeeps down there you can take on trails, but they actually have rules about which trails you can go. I don't think Pritchett's included.
I don't think Pritchett's included in any trails.
I was in, without getting too far into the weeds, no pun intended, I did read the terms and service of a Turo agreement within the last 12 months. Let's put it that way. It does not include off-road usage of any kind.
Yeah, I have a rental right now of a Jeep Sahara, and I show them pictures of my Jeep before I rented it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait a minute. They're like, it added up to them. Wait a minute, you're renting another Jeep. Are you going to do this?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to take this off-road, right?
Yeah. I was very
off-road.
Exactly. What is it a dirt road? A dirt road is a dirt road. If it just happens to be some mud or a few rocks on it, I can't control it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's you guys do some work with Tread Lightly, right?
We do, yeah. We've been working with Tread Lightly for a little over 3 years now. We do all their membership decals. So when you sign up for Tread Lightly and you get a decal, regardless of how the shape is, we do all their decal printing. So those guys are awesome. We've worked with them for some custom decals for some of their projects that they do, where at the end of the project, they hand it out to a lot of volunteers. We've also done some stuff via them for Rebel Rally too. So we've done all kinds of
awesome. Yeah, I'd love to get them on here to talk about that stuff, because that's just a whole cool thing unto itself. Did you do the badges for them?
What's that?
Did you do the badges for them, or was it just kind of each individual teams?
No, it was more Tread Lightly wanted something to offer all the teams, because they are a big sponsor of that and whatnot. And so we made them basically a co-branded custom Tread Lightly badge, basically.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of cool stuff out here with Stay the Trail and a couple of the other groups out here in Colorado. So it's nice to see more and more folks doing work with them. I'm going to bring this up again for all of our faithful listeners. If you listen to us before and may or may not have heard me, not bashing, but what Tread Lightly and Stay the Trail does and a lot of these groups do is it's very important, and I don't want to diminish it at all. But if you've got $20, definitely give $10 to your Stay the Trail and $10 to the BRC. Make sure you're doing somebody who's not just doing advocacy work to clean it up, but also to keep it open. I think we've focused so long on doing the keep it open stuff, the clean it up stuff. We forgot about the keep it open part.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, they're definitely, all those organizations seem to have kind of their own avenues, and BRC is definitely the important side for the legal battle side, basically.
Yeah, and I get it. We live in a hyper-political world, and everybody's kind of got their lane that they've got to do their work in. And it's just now it's up to us as consumers to kind of make sure we do our part to recognize where money's going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, and beyond consumers too, I think it's the manufacturers really need to get involved, and all these companies, and, you know, we have all these people buying parts and bumpers and all this sort of thing, and using this stuff off-road and going this and this and that. So
if I comment on one more company, large company like Jeep or even some of the bigger axle manufacturers and things like that, like, you guys got to step into the, put some skin in the game. Like, it's your customers that are impacted by this. So either you got to get your competitors are getting in the game. So get in the game.
Not going to buy axles for 40-inch tires if there aren't trails that require 40-inch tires.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell, like, on the surface what a lot of these, because I work for a kind of a resort casino golf course conglomerate thing. We do so much stuff, so many donations for community and all these events and one thing or another. And, like, on the surface, no one even knows that we do all this stuff. So, I mean, it's really hard to tell, like, what some of these things are, but the stuff that is on the surface that we see as social media people, like, you know, we're out there, you know, sharing the BRC stuff, getting this word out, trying to spread this stuff. And I'm not seeing a ton of companies doing the same thing, which is very easy for them to do. And they have very large audiences and this and that, you know what I mean? And I think that it's just something as simple as that goes a long ways without even the monetary side of it, right? Just spreading the word and awareness is giant.
Right. It's like, it's just say something about it. And if you bring it up, like Jeep, if you've got more reach than any of us combined, like more reach than anybody who's been on this podcast in whole, and more reach than we'll probably be on here. Let's say hopefully with just the first year. but you have more reach than any of us. You've got to get out there. You've got to say something, because it's great to see posts from the BRC and Trails Off Road get 13,000, 16,000 likes, whatever. But we need to see Jeep posting that to their millions of followers, so they know, and so that groups like the BLM know that we're done. We're done kind of just sitting and letting that happen.
Great.
So cool. Let's see here. So you're not getting an app. I really don't think it's super important to have one. Like, it might be cool from the social aspect, but
yeah,
the checking in piece is really kind of useless and pointless to me. And like,
yeah, I know why I'm on that road. I think like the information side would be cool. You know what I mean? Okay. And they can like just more like trail maps and that sort of thing. Probably won't ever go down the, like the app, and you need a membership just to get these things and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really where we came from or where we really are heading, you know?
I think everybody's kind of subscriptions for everything. So that's appreciated.
Right.
Thank you, Eric. It's the little things. I'm tired of getting nickel and dime for $4.99 a month. And as I say that, I would like to mention to everybody that if you'd like to support us, you can do so on our Patreon page for only $4 a month and add that to your long list of subscriptions that you can't pay for.
There you go.
So yeah, it's
we have all of the uncensored Jason content on our Patreon.
I mean, I'm starting to collect it. There's at least 5 minutes or so from
premium the conversation only. With
the Aqua Jeep girl. Yeah.
So Eric, where are you at?
I am in Washington State. I'm about 2 hours west of Seattle. So I'm like out on we call it the Olympic Peninsula. And so I'm staring across at Canada, across the water, basically. And I was about 45 minutes from Jason, but now that he's moved, I'm probably like 2 hours from him.
So you see him less regularly, but just enough.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Small doses.
So how often do you get out to Sand Hollow?
Sand Hollow, that was our first time this year.
Oh, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, that was our first time. We wanted to go probably the last 2 years, just things weren't lining up and this and that. And my girlfriend's birthdays are around October 8th. And so it's always around Trail Hero time. And we like doing big things for her birthday. And so I was like, okay, we got to get it down there. We got to do this thing. I promise we won't go on just Jeep vacations anymore. Like,
come to Winter 4x4.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's getting pressured. Yeah.
Winter 4x4 is a smaller version of Trail Hero.
It's a lot. I like it because it's more interesting.
Are you guys going to have a functional Jeep for that?
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Well, like, this
one
is
of you
the
sounded
thing.
Very confident. One of you did not.
I feel confident in our shop, and I feel confident. I'm like, I'm keeping positive on everything. Jem, like, I didn't give you my update. Jem has way more exciting news than Misfit's, like, a nightmare. Like, I don't even want to think about him. But Jem is getting triangulated, so she's going to be great for Trail Hero. I'm so ready.
All right. It's starting to look like I'll get mine back. So
we're kind of rebranding at this point, just to changing the logos. And we kind of had fun with ripping off the Hasbro logos, but now we're here trying to do something a little different now. And then it was a good time when Misfit tipped over, just to be kind of like, you know, fuck it, let's try something new for a minute with the.
Well, we're going to wrap him, and we've got. We're going to wrap both of them, and we're going to. Because instead of painting, like, we were looking at painting the whole thing and doing the whole thing, because there's too many panels that need to be painted. So it's like you have to do the whole thing at that point.
Yeah, I'm not doing paint ever again.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anyway, we're going to, like, fix them up as good as possible and just start wrapping them and,
like,
just like
provided I don't need a new motor. I feel like if they get it started next week, there's time to get it running and there's time to get it all put back together. There's not, it's
look
not
at
that much
winter 4x4.
And if I don't have that Jeep at winter 4x4, we're gonna take a hologram or I'm gonna buy another one.
I mean, somebody will buy it, somebody will buy it with the new engine.
Looking at a Gladiator right now that's like. A 67 Gladiator with like rear steer and all this dumb shit.
It's on 44s already. It's like waiting for me to buy it.
Oh, man.
I think my friend Troy is still selling his Gladiator. So if you're interested, I'll let you know. He's only looking for
like
58.
Like, which year? What year?
I think it's a 2019.
Oh, no. He's looking at a 69, a
67. Kaiser military one. And they've actually built it up with deuce and a half axles and a 454 engine.
It's a significantly different build.
we're not buying any more new things for what we do. We've learned our lesson.
Anything
that we're gonna beat the crap out of, like we do, isn't gonna be new. Like it wasn't on purpose.
We
didn't know we were gonna be here. I can't wait for like.
We thought Bins and Things was gonna be like our hard challenge, and that was gonna be cool.
I think that's where everybody
starts.
Yeah.
On fire roads, and little did we know, we freaking love this stuff.
I want to do a whole episode about not building your Jeep before you know what the hell it is you like to do.
Right, but
that is important.
I think people spend thousands of dollars on bad advice, and I know I spent at least $8,000 on
our problem is that we keep outgrowing what we're doing.
Well, we're like, oh, we're only going to do this, and then we do more, and then we do more. But
it's fine, because now we know what we're going to do, so we won't have to build the next vehicles three times. So it'll only take once, hopefully.
So are you still on your first Jeep, Eric?
I am not. No, Wrangler? No, this is my second, JK.
This is starting to sound. So you're done now. That's two. You're it. It's not like 1, 2, 3.
I'm on seven, eight. Your belt is right now. I'll take it up. Whatever thing. I'm not scared of any line. Like I'll just do it. You know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy not spending money on it right now. Everything works. It's got great suspension on it. Great everything. Like it's good to go for me. Like it does everything well. And just kind of happy with it. So I toyed with, well, should I sell it and start over? Just build something crazy? You know what I mean? There's all those things kind of go through your head. I don't know.
I won't sell the. I've told these guys I won't sell my yellow one because it's got a lifetime warranty on it from Mopar, and I won't get rid of it. So as long as they will continue to warranty the engine, then I will continue to wheel the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I've been informed that they won't warranty my engine now that it's been upside down and full of oil and hydraulic fluid.
No, I'm pretty sure that's like, I think that's something even they would look at me like, we're not going to cover that either. No.
That's the fine print. They used to do, speaking of warranties, they used to do windshield warranties like when the JKs first came out.
Oh, yeah.
Through the dealership.
Yeah, they were a little too confident to start, man. Weren't they?
I remember being in a dealership one time and this like girl walks by and I was just like, what are you in for? And she's like, oh, I just bring my JK in, it's got another cracked windshield. And I was like, how many are you on? And she's like, oh, it's like my 12th one because I got the thing. And it's just like, oh my God.
That
sounds great. But like, you know, time you've wasted out of your life just going to the dealership with new windshield.
Oh, I hate this.
Yeah. I hate the dealer. I'm glad that they're the only ones that can work on my Jeep right now. But the reality is if I have to take my Jeep to the dealer, then all of us have failed. I failed. The shop failed. Like it's gonna be a long time before I see it. I'm not gonna get updates in a timely manner, and it sucks.
Yeah.
And so that's
it's the nature.
It's true for everybody. I'm not the only person who feels like this.
I mean, if your vehicle's in the shop for anything, it took my wife. She had a little bit of body damage on her car, and took almost 2 months to get it fixed. It wasn't extensive.
Yeah, my friend said his Jeep was down for 6 months after he tipped it over, and I'm like, I ain't not letting that happen. Wow. That's if I have to go Karen on people, I will. That is not happening.
Bring Jason out. Sounds like you can get your shit together.
Right.
I'm still stuck on this obstacle thing. I really like it. Oh my God. I think that's like a really cool. I can think of like 10 obstacles in my head that like should be on there. But like, I think that like, and I like the idea of like the chute and a puzzle piece. And then did you do it backwards? And then like, was it raining? Just kidding. Right, no, right. I'm just kidding. You could get like a rain cloud, like for any of the like obstacles. Cause there's one called Wayne's World in Utah, Northern Utah.
And I'm only
telling
you this.
Could be Wayne's World, but it could like, you could have rain clouds and like, all kinds of different options to like make your obstacle, like, because you literally like, you don't say you did Wayne's World, you have like a sentence after of how many things were just going on that day,
right
to make it so that you could get up that like
maybe like little decals that go on top of the badge just says rainy, muddy,
sunny, snowy, like how much sand is
kind
on
like the UFC badges, how many times you defeated
behind 40 other Jeep. Like,
yeah, Watch 10 people roll over on it first. Like, I don't know.
Like, terrible.
Oh my gosh, you could have, like, axle shafts and things like that, because if you broke your axle shaft on it, you could have the back and then broke your axle shaft.
Idea, yeah.
Or your driveline, or, like, a D-ring.
There,
like,
you go. That's
these are all options. Yeah, like, these are good
ideas.
That's
at least something you should do with the add-ons. App.
There's there, like, you go. Going to be like a little drop-down menu underneath the bat.
There you go. That's what you...
I didn't finish it, but I was on it and I broke my axle shaft. Yeah. Like, I want one of those. Like, that's cool.
I feel like that's extra cred. Yeah.
Because it's your big fish story anyway. You talk about it all the time. So why shouldn't it be documented on your Jeep? Like, we have Friendship Corner. And it's all the people that we've met along the way and, like, that have made us who we are. And, like, I think if you had, like, your badges could, like, represent who you are. Like, that's super rad, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like
it. Just some thoughts while we're just a little collaboration.
You're taking notes.
I know. Well, and I'm going to give you one more. And I'm only giving this to you because I know I'm never going to have an opportunity to do stickers like this. But just do the state. And then you can do individual trails as parts of the state. Just treat it like the country maps, or the whole country maps for the individual states where you fill it out.
Yeah, we kind of dabble with that a little bit. We actually have the quarter initial maps. Design, kind of like the RV maps that you see on RVs, that sort of thing.
Those of us with OCD loves shit like that.
Yeah, we had some initial designs. We were just... you got to be very creative how to fit these trails and or names of trails in very tiny state shapes, right? So,
yeah.
And then you get so many new options all the time. Like,
right.
You would get it, like, perfect, and then all of a sudden you get, like, say you have 50 spots, and then all of a sudden the shape changed.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Then you got to buy it again. I'm not mad at that.
I mean, you are building your own business at that point. So
I'm telling you, this the axles and the like, I'm all in on like that part of the badge.
What's your favorite trail?
That's actually really funny.
What's your favorite trail nobody knows about that you want to share?
Favorite trail that no one knows about? Sheesh. That's a brain buster.
All right, your favorite trail that everybody knows about.
Everybody knows about. My personal favorite trail area. Sand Hall is amazing. That's totally killer. Mm-hmm. I love like the ArabFE area too. I think that area is just killer. Outside of Moab, that is 2 tons of fun. The Coyote Canyon, all that stuff is that's a good time in there. But I'm also so me and my girlfriend, she's kind of my helper, and she's always at like all the events and this and that. She's like my right hand.
This is a podcast. You can make it sound like we is 100 people that is Conquer Trails, and we can go that.
The people at my corporate headquarters.
Okay, there you go. See, you're getting it now.
There you go.
We are like outdoorsy camping people first, I would say. And then very closely second would be jeeping, off-roaders, that sort of thing. So we kind of like both. So there's a lot of times we just go camping, and a lot of times we'll drag the Jeep with us and that sort of thing. So we love the scenic trails too. I think the San Juan Mountain area is like totally amazing, super epic. And I could do those all day, and there's not like a hard thing in that area necessarily, right?
It's really not difficult.
Great, but I also love like the super technical, and you're about to roll, flip, got the tires in the air, that sort of thing, like 2 miles an hour in low, and you know what I mean? I love that too, just because of the challenge and the achievement of that. But I love the scenery too, because that stuff is just like, it's stuck in your brain forever.
Just got a little too excited. Calm down, buddy.
I like the scenery, but I don't like to take our bigger Jeeps on the scenic trails as much, because it's kind of overkill.
Right.
And it's like, we custom made them to climb on rocks, and then they don't do really good driving slow over over flat trails.
They do good.
They're just boring. It's way more fun to take the two-door out on one of those trails.
Because then you get to like...
Because everything's funky in that thing. It's a lot of fun.
Right, right.
You just have to take it, you know, when everybody's going on the bypasses, you just like see that thing and go over it and feel good about it.
Yeah.
On the two-door. Yeah.
There you go. We'll come out. So there's a trail out here. Next time you're out this way, Eric, it's called Saxon Mountain. Hmm. It'll scratch both itches for you.
Oh, okay.
It'll give you a nice scenic view of Georgetown and Denver. And
nice. It'll
scare the shit out of you at the same time with it's about a 3,000-foot shelf road.
Oh, wow.
So if you can handle the shelf roads, it's good for you. But
yeah, that's awesome.
I realized as I said that, and I saw the look on your face, I'm like, I'm not so sure he likes the shelves.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. We came through there. Geez, when was it?
And that one's right off the highway. Like you can stop in Georgetown. You can drive to the mountain, go up it. If you want to turn around and come back down and be back on the highway like 3 hours later.
Yeah, most of the stuff we were through there was still snow covered, gates are closed, that sort of thing. So we ended up just doing like, we went up and did like T33. And then, because we're on our way to a wedding also, so that was in Breckenridge. And so we went and did Wheeler Lake.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good
one. So that was like just kind of getting opening. There's some snow on that still. So that was about the extent the last time we were through that area. But
if you come through there at the right time of winter, you can go out there on Georgetown Lake.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, you just have to get a permit and not a permit. They basically sell tickets for ice racing, and they have regular ice racing where you actually timed and compete, and then there's another one where you can just go around and act like a jackass out on the ice. It's kind of fun.
Awesome. So that sounds like a good one.
Like, yeah, it's only like $50. It's well worth
it. Wow. No, that sounds like something we should take Jim over and do.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you'd have a lot of fun with it, man. I'll share some. we're getting into winter. I'll share some fresh video of it. So
cool.
It's good stuff. I tried to add it. It's actually something that I tried to add to Trails Off Road as a scout route. And Todd and I'm pretty sure it's still in limbo. I don't think we decided on whether or not we're going to publish it, because it's real disconcerting when you're looking at like a top down view of a map and then there's a GPX track that goes out over a lake. and we don't. There's been too many stories lately about people following Google Maps where they shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Can you imagine someone's like, well, the line said to go through the lake? And
100% someone would. You know they would.
Like, I know.
And that was part of the discussion that Todd and I had about it. Like, somebody's going to go
up there. That's
the lowest
common denominator of humanity.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And we weren't going to run that through legal for that kind of a commitment at all. So, awesome. All right. Well, cool, man. That's it. I guess we'll end on this last question for you. What's the future for you guys? You got any specific new products or stuff coming that you want us to know about?
New products and stuff. We're always pumping out new trails, as you know. We are going to start diving into a little more like national park stuff too, as well. Because that's a big thing for people that are just traveling all the national parks. So we're going to be heading that direction. We also just launched our a start of like a mountain bike line as well. Because there's big mountain bike name trails that people want to go after, that sort of thing. So we're just trails in general, really. Because, you know, like obviously side by sides of all this, people take all kinds of rigs on that. That was another big differentiator. You know, it just doesn't have to be a Jeep. It could be any rig out there. Right? So, but we are definitely doing that. What else? We've got new apparel that comes out all the time as well.
Oh yeah.
And just try to keep supporting a lot of these small events. We sponsor a ton of small like local events here nationwide. We host the social media parties at EJS, and we did one at Trail Hero last year, and we're going to continue to do that and maybe expand into other large events across the country, kind of doing that sort of thing.
Win a 4x4.
And she's pushing everybody, so don't feel bad about that.
I love it. It's my favorite event.
This is a small event until Randy started talking about it.
I mean, seriously.
Are
you getting money per reservation?
Yeah, a little kickback.
Winter 4x4. Winter 4x4 and Vernal Rock Rally are my two very favorite, because they're tiny. Vernal is way tinier, and that's my very favorite because it's so intimate.
That sounds awesome.
Not a lot of places have that format of guided trails at an event, and Vernal is a real small one, and it's really fun there.
It's like 300 people.
Really?
Yeah, 300 to 500 people.
Yeah. But it's like the best one of all of them.
We show up and we're the giant.
Everybody else is like duct taped and zip tied together. Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. It's like my favorite thing ever.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry.
Like these locals will drive their stock Sahara with a locker in the rear on these crazy ass trails that we're out there on 40s with front and rear lockers trying to go on it. And they're just, they're crazy insane. And they're, if I drove like that, I'd break my Jeep for sure.
One of the guys had an XJ and one of his long arms just like broke off.
Wow.
And he like literally welded it to his axle and said, cool. And like kept going with three wheels.
Perfect.
Like literally welded his long arm to his axle. It was like the best day of my life, like watching him. And he like kicked it a few times and he's like, I'm ready.
That's awesome.
Good to go.
I love going to events like that. Like we have a lot of, you know, obviously small local clubs that we're involved with and that sort of thing. And I love just showing up and seeing what the majority of the Jeep and off-road world is like. Cause like, you know, Gem and the Misfit, you know, mine, Jason's, that's sort of like, we are not the majority out there. You know what I mean? We're very, very
small. Like, I love you guys, but you're not. Yeah. No, I'm the majority. Yeah.
Exactly. Just like, man, this is so cool. All these people, it doesn't matter like what the build is, how small or big it is. Like that person over there is having like just as much of a good time as we are, and vice versa. And like everybody's pitching in, and like if someone breaks, that's like the best part of the community, right? So like everybody's like,
that's the best part of the community.
Yeah. It is doesn't matter, so like, fun.
And we've been sucking up more than our fair share of breaks on the trail lately. Thanks to the community for helping us all the time.
I just love that. Like, you know, everybody's like minded and willing to help. And you know, if you're taking, you know, we lead a lot of local trail runs and that sort of thing. And, you know, if you're taking newbies out there and just like opening their minds to like how some of the stuff works and different lines and like everything from like airing down your tires to, you know, you name it. So it's awesome.
Well, and I love like, I mean, the community is what it is. Like I wouldn't be building my Jeep if I didn't love the people I was doing it with and the people that like have supported me for the last like while, you know what I mean? Like it is one of the coolest to be part of it and to be around it and to like bring people into it is just amazing. And the people are just, that's it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's fun. Like all the parts are fun, but like if it wasn't for the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, you said the word rally, and I think that as a podcast, if it actually is going on next year, we should enter ourselves in the Rocky Mountain Rambler 500. And if you're not familiar with it, it is you bring a vehicle that is $500 or less, and then you have to get it from point A to point B and hope it stays in one piece.
Our friend Chelsea's been doing that with Gambler 500. She's raced like I don't know how many races. She's always on the Gambler 500 stuff. Trail hunter. She used to drive a Jeep. Now she's like really into racing these $500 cars.
I saw it, I think, the first time in like 2018 or something like that. And then a couple of years later, by the time I was ready to do it, COVID hit. They came back a year or two ago, and then last year they were off. So hopefully next year they do it. So I think if we should do that as a group. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Be hilarious.
We just had a group of buddies that went out and did like a small tire challenge. So they just bolt like all these takeoffs of like stock Jeeps, just everybody's like just bolting on like the smallest little tires that they can get on the thing and then taking it out. But their Jeeps are all built. They're just on these really tiny tires. And it's just a blast. Cause like there's not enough leverage on a small tire to break anything. So you can just really like just hammer.
Hammer it. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. A little bit of skinny pedal and a lot of like double footing. Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like when we take our Jeeps and then we take out Hologram. It is a totally different experience, and I love it. Like, it's like, because Hologram is like on 37s and it's a two-door, so it has a lot of clearance, but like the front wheels like start working just as fast as the back wheels. It's fast.
No delay.
Whereas, like, in his JT, like, you were over that rock and like, last summer. Like, his forever until that starts working again.
That's a totally different feeling, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But the two-door, like...
But it's smaller tires because it doesn't need bigger tires.
No.
Mm-hmm. I think if you put 40s on it or 42s, they would touch each other.
Okay. I feel like that's overkill for my Jeep. It's too much.
It's definitely overkill. 35s to 37s on a smaller Jeep.
It's so fun. There's so much stuff to do. Like, it feels different.
And it's almost kind of cool to, like, think about that, though, with the small tire challenge, like you're saying. It'd be kind of interesting to be, like,
and 33
take 33 inch tires and put them on Misfit and then go beat the shit out of it because you can't, because it's not going to break.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have the clearance, but you have the axle, so you just ram them in.
Yeah.
Right. But other than
that, definitely get the skid plates on there first.
Yeah.
Oh my God. 33s on Misfit. He'd have no breakover. He'd be like skidding across everything.
I mean, I feel like there's an opportunity for a governing body to come in here and make decisions about, like, okay, this trail, if you do it with 33s and, you know, it's a 6.7 and we're going to do it like this, you're rated to finish it. Yeah. No. There's somebody, anybody who's willing to spend that kind of time, because it's not me.
Mm-hmm. It would be fun.
Oh, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I just don't have that kind of time. I barely have enough time to do what I'm doing now. I don't have time to do this. I just like you guys too much. So, all right, cool. Then let's get out of here. I have just the last thing for you. We did not get to a question last time. Jason is Jason, and since he's not here, we're actually going to get to finish the podcast in a respectable way today. Eric, we, the guests don't have to include themselves. If you'd like to include yourself, you can.
Sure.
I will ask you. You're welcome to pass. But we just kind of ask a hot take question. We go around the table. Everybody gets 60 seconds to do that. And did you? Oh, good Lord! I felt my stomach rumble when you did that, Pope. So the question of the day is: what's the worst modification? I'm going to exclude from this conversation cosmetic items and light bars. Those are the two things that you cannot say are the worst modification.
Okay.
We will throw it to our guests first. Eric, what's the worst modification and your opportunity to piss somebody off if you'd like to?
Worst modification. Geez. Man, that's a tough one. Let's go with the floor mats.
Floor mats. As much as I like the WeatherTech, I got to agree with you. That's a lot. I see a lot of
the functionality of them, but
it's hard to drop so much cash for floor liners. Like, I get it, but it still gets underneath there.
Yeah.
I love you guys. You're a U.S. company. In fact, I think you're in Illinois. But I'm all right. Cool. Randy, you get to go first because Hope looks like he's itching.
Worst amount of case. I'm just trying to think. Like, it's really hard because I can think of a lot of superficial things that are awful.
Yeah, that's why I excluded those things. Like, and go ahead. I don't want to get in the way of your answer.
Well, and you know what? Like, I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I think I have a lot of feelings because I have seen every Apex valve stem fucking explode. Ooh. Like, I've had so many, like, people who they like leak. I don't have them because, and like, every time I try, I get new tires, they're like, you should do Apex. And like, all of my friends tell me this all the time, you should get them. And then, like, that same day that they're bitching that I like take five minutes to air down my tires instead of 30 seconds,
right?
Their valve stem like comes unglued. So, like, I would say, but if it's going to be something really like technical like that, I'd say Apex.
Like,
okayness. Like, and so I am sorry, Apex valve stems, if you're listening to my podcast and you're like,
yeah, I mean, they make plenty of great products. I think it's anybody who's making valve stem replacements.
Yeah.
Like, they're always long, so they're always, I feel like it's just way too much to get damaged unless you're doing what I'm doing, which is not a whole lot of rock crawling.
Well, and all of my friends that have them have to wait for me anyway. Well, they have to wait for me. Yeah. They're hanging out with me. So I guess, okay, that's that. There you go.
That's
how I feel about it.
Were you, did you just have something to say, Eric?
No, I was going to say I have Apex, but now you probably jinxed me. Thank you very much.
I'm so sorry. And everybody bitches because it takes me 5 minutes to air down my tires. So I just take my Easy Flight and hook it up and like do it.
See, I just hit my Easy Flight.
And I can do them all four at the same time. And I can talk to you while I'm doing it and check my number and whatever, you know.
But the Easy Flight's
they're all pissed off because they can go over and go and they like count their seconds and do their whole thing and they're all done faster than me. And it's like, but you have to wait for me anyway.
Yeah. See, so I got a drone. I got plenty of shit to do.
Crappy it was to air down one tire at a time. We're doing four at a time. That's amazing. Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean,
it's like we're in the Middle Ages of technology here.
All right, Pope, you're up.
This is kind of an odd one, but it's on the same lines. The TPMS delete. Why the fuck would you take the TPMS right? Sensors like out of your tires? Or would you build a big Jeep like Jem and the Misfit and then not put the TPMS sensors in the wheels? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, it's if you have them, why defeat them? Like it's still a useful measurement. Like I don't need extra TPMS. Or I don't need extra tire pressure sensors of any kind. I use the ones on board, even for airing up and airing down.
And for when you do like the large tire, like we do, or you change it out, you have to put new ones in. And we were like trying to save money on not putting them in. And then the second time we did replace tires, we told our builder to put them in, and he still didn't.
I
know if you burp a little bit of air,
you know what's going on with them. You're fine. Yeah. It's fine. You can set your taser to have them low anyway, but your computers don't really like the when they're not there the way the Jeep's designed. Anyway,
yeah, that's right. No, you're good. No, it's good. This is gonna be a great question. I'm looking forward to seeing how Jason feels about this one. So
I want to hear what he has to say.
I am sure he's got some feelings about it.
There's a lot of things that are like cosmetic and functionally cosmetic, you know what I mean? But that are terrible upgrades.
Yeah.
Like what? What would be in the terrible cosmetic?
Would be like, kind of like Nerf bars or like a step to get in your rig that isn't like a functional slider. Like if you're spending money on it, like get a functional slider that is both, not just something that is just gonna like just wrap around the first rock that you put it on.
Something that makes you think that you have protection and you don't. Okay.
Or any of those steps that are like a U-shaped step in the middle of your Jeep where you got two of them and then you're like getting stuck and hung up
like
on
those rocks. Are just gonna get hung up on everything.
Yeah, they weren't U-shaped until I landed it on a rock. Now they're U-shaped. Yeah.
The other thing along those lines is any bumper that's made out of anything less than 3/16 steel.
I agree with that too.
Don't bother with it because it's just going to smash on a rock. You think, and it'll defeat another car on the road probably pretty well. But I've just like slowly going down a rock and just scraping the bumper. Yeah. I've had one of those 3/16 bumpers taco itself on that.
Well, my really thin one when I first started, I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I just bought like a stamp steel bumper. And I had to jump on the bumper to open my tailgate. I called it my crumple zone. I was like, it's fine. Yeah. It's my crumple zone.
Awesome. We're not going to talk crap on those because on the company or say what they are because they're beautiful bumpers and they look
but
really
not for
cool.
What we're doing.
But they're just not appropriate for what we do.
Right.
My addition to this conversation is going to be tailgate kitchen tables. Nobody needs them. nobody needs, myself included. I say this having one currently in my Jeep that will just come out whenever I finally get around to doing it. I put it in 2 years ago and I've used it one time. So, you don't need it. You don't need the weight. If you need a kitchen, then get one, but get an overland rig. You don't need it for your two door JK. So,
one more.
All right. Oh, yeah, one more.
Dual steering stabilizers.
Ah. Overkill.
I mean, you don't even need one at all. You got an alignment.
That depends on how bad the suspension was done in your shop.
You don't need to
say. I think you're giving a lot of shops too much credit.
They will slap everyone on there if you like the look of that, and it's just a pointless.
I mean, if you want to have all that extra underneath them, but it's just extra weight. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Eric, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we can have you on in the future at some point. Maybe if you guys got something newer, something interesting coming down the line, reach out to me and we'll have you on.
Okay. Sounds great. No, it was awesome. Cool. Thank you very much, everyone. It was a good
nice
time.
Meet you. Yeah, it's nice to meet you, Eric.
Thank you.
Yep. If you want to hang out for 1 second after we're done recording, and then cool.
Sounds good.
Everybody, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for joining us here at the podcast. Pope, do you want to? Did I hear you pour a shot?
Oh,
yes.
Or did you just pour liquor into something? Okay.
Well, I poured liquor into my glass, but
okay, because I heard a pop of a cork. So here, yeah. Eric. Yeah. It's a Jason thing.
Jason's not here, but
if you have a drink, feel free.
Drink. Mm-hmm. Drink to the game.
Cheers.
Oh my God. Why do I keep doing that myself? All right. It's just tequila has a very specific thought in my, and it takes me back to a very specific time in my past.
That's the old me.
All right, cool. No, it's good times. All right. Well, thanks so much, and thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time at the trailhead.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Thanks.